Facebook is removing three disinformation networks with ties to Russia. Facebook says the networks were mostly focusing on Europe and Asia, but they were reaching the U.S. too. One of the affiliated blogs was called Black and Intelligent. It promoted U.S. news articles that were critical of Joe Biden and favorable toward Bernie Sanders. The presidential election is just 39 days away, and both the CIA and FBI say this kind of foreign interference will continue. But there is a newer form that experts are also concerned about, and that's domestic. In Phoenix, Arizona, a group of young conservatives has been getting paid to post misinformation about the election and about the coronavirus. Their support comes from a group called Turning Point USA. Turning Point's 26-year-old founder Charlie Kirk opened up the Republican National Convention this summer. Kirk's social media operation was first discovered by the Washington Post, and it has some experts worried. They say it marks the birth of domestic troll farms or paid propagandists. Graham Brookey is director of the Digital Forensic Research Laboratory at the Atlantic Council. Welcome, Graham.
Thank you so much for having me.
The young people who generated these messages on social media wrote, for instance, that mail-in ballots will lead to fraud this election, a statement for which there is no evidence. According to the Washington Post story, a tweet claimed that coronavirus numbers have been intentionally inflated. Remind us who's doing the posting and how it's being paid for.
Well, the Washington Post found that this troll farm is actually being run by teenagers, in some cases minors, outside of Phoenix, Arizona. It's technically tied to a 501c4 nonprofit called, as you mentioned, Turning Point USA. And it appears as though some of the posters are being paid for their posts.
So what can you tell us about Turning Point USA and what they're doing in Arizona?
Well, it appears as though they're trying to generate as much social media engagement around some of the messages that you just mentioned, which are what we would consider to be disinformation, most notably about voting by mail, some related to coronavirus. And that shouldn't be new. For instance, there are a number of blogs as well as media outlets that do the same. But the tactic of using contract employment, especially with much younger people, including minors, is very concerning.
Much younger people and minors, especially in the United States, because we're used to hearing about this kind of thing coming from Russia or 4 years ago from some teenagers in Macedonia. Are there many examples of it happening here in the United States?
There aren't that many examples of this happening here in the United States. To my knowledge, the report from Washington Post is one of the first reported instances. As you said, in 2016, we were very concerned about Macedonian teenagers writing clickbait news that included false information or disinformation. And in this election cycle in 2020, we have to be concerned about that same type of activity being done here in the United States.
When you call it a troll farm, what do we know about how troll farms operate? Are these young people together in a room getting the message from, for instance, Turning Point USA saying, here, write about this, here, write about something else, and by the way, don't say where you're getting the information or the fact that this is not just your own opinion?
I think that your description is exactly right. A troll farm indicates a degree of coordination, a degree of kind of editorial control. And in general, what we know about this network is that they were responding on social media to people like journalists. And so when we talk about trolling, there's kind of this call and response. One of the other components of what this network apparently was doing was copy and pasting the same message in order to drive up as much engagement on that message and to make it look like it was more popular than it likely really was. That is what we mean by disinformation or the intentional spread of false information.
And Turning Point USA says basically they're not sponsoring a troll farm. They're simply adapting to the coronavirus pandemic and paying people to do their jobs online that they would have otherwise paid them to do in the field. Is there any credibility to that? I mean, what are they saying that these young people would have been doing in the field?
Well, that activity in the field would have much smaller audience reach because it would be person-to-person engagement. It would be things like knocking on doors. And online, you get a much broader audience. And so when you're tipping up that social media engagement, you can measure exactly how many people you're reaching with that message. And that is the point where they're trying to go truly viral. And if it includes disinformation, for instance, disinformation about voting by mail in an election that is happening in the middle of a pandemic, that's extremely concerning activity.
Well, Twitter and Facebook seem to be concerned because they have suspended some of the accounts. What are the grounds they have for yanking the accounts?
It's unclear what grounds a few of the accounts were removed from Facebook and Twitter. But Facebook and Twitter have both indicated that they're on high alert for process disinformation, and that's disinformation about A, the results of the election, or B, where, when, and how to vote, as well as very concerned and moderating a lot of content around coronavirus disinformation or disinformation about the very real public health crisis that we still have in this country.
Is there, by the way, any evidence that the Republican Party itself is at all involved in funding this kind of operation or funding Turning Point USA?
I'm not entirely sure. What I can say is that Turning Point USA is directly aligned and very supportive of President Trump. Its founder, Charlie Kirk, is a large youth supporter of Donald Trump. He has attended multiple rallies with the Trump campaign. He's an outspoken advocate and surrogate for the campaign. And so the amplification to a larger audience, regardless of the source of funding, is the same.
Do we know if there's a similar effort happening on the part of Democrat Joe Biden?
There is no indication that a similar effort is happening on behalf of Joe Biden. First and foremost, Joe Biden is running a campaign that also includes a number of digital elements because of the transition to coronavirus. But Joe Biden doesn't engage in disinformation as a strategy, and there is no evidence for that.
Graham, are we more vulnerable to disinformation coming from the United States, from within our borders, than foreign misinformation? Because you might have read the article by Joshua Yaffa in The New Yorker recently. The piece was called, "Is Russian Meddling as Dangerous as We Think?" And he posed the question, what if, to borrow an old horror movie trope, the call is coming from inside the house? Could domestic misinformation be a greater threat than foreign?
That's absolutely right. The scale and scope of domestic disinformation is far greater than anything a foreign adversary could do to us. And further to that point, online influence operations from foreign adversaries that include disinformation can only be successful in targeting domestic audiences if those domestic audiences already have a very robust supply and demand of domestic disinformation. Now, that doesn't dismiss the fact that Russia's efforts and other foreign adversaries' efforts remain an extremely serious national security vulnerability in which democracy itself is the target.
So how is the United States to responsibly cut the amount of disinformation if you say that the populace is already vulnerable to it, as we've seen in the past?
Well, it's up to every single one of us. Every single one of us needs to be a little bit more resilient. When we're engaging with content online, we need to have a healthy degree of skepticism. We need to look at the sources of information and, frankly, the source of information when we're looking online. We're going to have a very confusing election season. We're having an election season in which voting is happening in a way that isn't necessarily typical given the pandemic. And so looking for specific, reliable, accountable, transparent sources of information is going to be absolutely crucial. And that's not something that we can rely on social media platforms for. It's not something that we can rely on media outlets for, or even candidates. That's something that we have to rely on ourselves for. We all have a role to play in that. And so looking to sources like secretaries of state for official election results is going to be incredibly important.
Thank you very much for talking with us. Graham Brookie is director of the Digital Forensic Research Lab at the Atlantic Council. Nice to speak with you, Graham.
Thanks for having me.